Issues, Etc. Reformation Week begins October 21st. 5 days of Reformation-themed programs with some of your favorite guests. And here's an easy way to invite your fellow parishioners to listen. It's a special church bulletin insert for Issues, Etc. Reformation Week. Just go to the support page at issuesetc.org, download, print, and make copies of the Reformation Week bulletin insert. We have 5 different bulletin inserts for each time zone. Issues, Etc. Reformation Week. Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's Tuesday afternoon, October the 15th. I saw the headline a couple weeks ago. Mormon women shut out of all-male priesthood meeting. Now, that would read kind of normally if it didn't start with the word Mormon. It could be a story about the Roman Catholics. It could be a story about Protestants who do not ordain women to the pastoral office. But this one was about Mormons, and this is where things get a little fuzzy, at least for me. I don't know if there's an analogy between those two situations, the Roman Catholics or Protestant pastors and priests, and whatever it is that the Mormons have that women want to do in Salt Lake City. Joining us to talk about the role of women in Mormonism, Bill McKeever. He's founder of Mormonism Research Ministry based in Draper, Utah, co-author of the books Answering Mormons Questions, Questions to Ask Your Mormon Friend, and Mormonism 101. Bill, welcome back.
Hey, good to be with you. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. I am a little confused, though, because I don't know enough about the kind of clergy situation in Mormonism, if we can even speak of something like that, because to me, the temptation is to draw the analogy between women wanting to be Roman Catholic priests or women wanting to be Protestant ministers. What's going on in Mormonism?
Yeah, I can understand how that could be a little bit confusing, but basically what we have here is an example of a group of women who want to have priesthood authority, just like men do in the Mormon Church. And to understand that, you have to understand exactly what is priesthood authority in Mormonism, because the Mormon Church claims that as a part of this great apostasy that they believe took place after the original church members and the original apostles all died off, this loss of authority is really what is the major part of this apostasy, that no professing Christian pastor or clergy member has any authority to speak on the name of God or do anything in the name of God. In fact, the priesthood, in a nutshell, is the authority to act in God's name. Now, in Mormonism, this is given only to males. Now, they have a number of different clergy-type positions in Mormonism. There is, on the very local level, they would have what's known as a bishop, and a bishop is in charge of a local ward, and that's kind of like his flock, and then he answers to a higher authority, which would be the stake president, which is over a number of various wards, kind of like in Catholicism with a diocese, and so they do have clergy members of this type, and going clear on up into the top guy, who is the prophet, seer, and revelator of the Mormon Church. Now, his priesthood authority speaks for the whole church, whereas a bishop, he doesn't speak for the whole church. He might speak for himself, his family, and his congregation, because that's who he's in charge of, but he does not speak or claim to take any authority for the entire church. He has a certain limited amount of authority in that position. Women in Mormonism are not given the priesthood. So what we have here is this group that were wanting to enter this priesthood meeting at conference, which is held only for males. Naturally, they were not allowed inside because it's not for females, and they feel slighted. They feel like that not having the priesthood like their male counterparts, they look upon themselves as being seen as something inferior. Now, the Mormon Church has tried very hard to make it clear that that's not the case. They look at it merely like most complementarians would look at it, as this is really a role difference. We're not saying that women are inferior. There's just different roles for men and for women within the church. Now, here's what strikes me as being odd, though, Todd, because in essence what we have is a group of women who are showing disrespect for the priesthood that they want to have. And what I mean by that is the priesthood authority that these males have and explain has been the same ever since the beginning of the Mormon Church. That's just the way the Mormon Church is set up. Their written scripture gives it to males and males only, and their revelatory scripture gives it to males only. And what I mean by revelatory scripture is Mormons believe that whenever their leaders speak, such as in general conference, that that is like God speaking to the membership through these particular men. Now, if these men keep saying the same story as they have on this particular issue, you would think that the women who want this priesthood authority would listen to those that have the priesthood authority. But apparently they don't like their answer, so they keep bringing this up over and over, which to me as an outsider looks like they're merely trying to wear these guys down, hoping that one day they're finally going to go, okay, you can have it now. But it's really more than just a title. It comes with certain powers that Mormons feel God gives to their priesthood holders. So even though the men might acquiesce, the question then becomes, looking again in a Mormon context, does the Mormon God also go along with it, and is he going to bestow this alleged priesthood power upon the women as well? I guess that's what they're hoping for. These women are hoping for. But whether that happens anytime soon, you know, remains to be seen. I mean, who would have thought back in 1978 that they would have reversed their position regarding blacks holding the priesthood? And interesting, though, Todd, that's one of these examples of Mormon history that these women are citing, that God changed back then. They think he can change now on this issue. And why did it change back in 1978? Well, again, as an outsider looking in, I would say it was because of the pressure that was brought upon the leadership to make that course correction. And while Mormons might say, no, it was just in God's timing, I don't buy that argument, because up until 1978, it was pretty much understood by Mormons that the only way blacks were going to hold the priesthood was only after the resurrection. And of course, that hasn't happened yet. So I think in 1978, the church was a little premature in doing that if they wanted to stick to the predictions of past leaders. So it's a little bit of a complicated issue, but quite frankly, most Mormon women don't want this kind of a change. They understand that role and are quite happy in that role. So here we have, again, a little bit of the minority there, just trying to be very vocal and hoping to get some changes made in the Mormon church. And that's basically what's happening in a nutshell.
If such a change were made, wouldn't it have implications more broadly for their entire theological system, wherein they believe that women are kind of gain their access to the celestial kingdom via marriage to their husbands, and he is their priest?
It seems like it would open up a whole Pandora's box of complications based on how the Mormon church is structured. In fact, Joseph Fielding McConkie, the son of Bruce McConkie, had a whole chapter on this subject, and he raised that very issue. I mean, let's think about it. I mean, right now, the way it's set up, a Mormon male is going to be married for time and eternity to his female counterpart, and they are supposed to inherit their own world in the next life if they become exalted or become gods and goddesses as they understand it. Does this mean now that they're going to co-rule that world? Because if that's the case, we have no implication from Mormon scripture or any implication from any revelatory scripture from past Mormon leaders that that's ever been done with gods in the past. Because in Mormonism, they believe in this infinite regression of gods going back into eternity. There's not even a first God that started it all. We have no indication at all that, for instance, the one they call Heavenly Father is co-ruling with the one they call Heavenly Mother. In fact, Mormons, a few years ago, when this issue came up about praying to Heavenly Mother, were soundly rebuked, and those who held that position were told, no, you don't do that. You do not pray to Heavenly Mother. You pray to Heavenly Father. Yeah, this I think would have all sorts of theological conundrums that Mormons would have to deal with. And I don't see the Mormon Church changing this anytime soon, but, you know, they've surprised me in the past, so who knows.
So if you were a betting man, knowing how sensitive they are to public pressure and to the desire to be viewed as well, in some cases, mainstream Christian or mainstream Protestant, would it surprise you too much if at some point in the not-too-distant future they said, you know, maybe women can be priests in the Mormon Church?
Well, here's why I wouldn't see it that way. Unlike the example that a lot of these women are citing, and that is the priesthood revelation of 1978, this is purely an ecclesiastical debate that they have in their own church. The government's not involved, whereas the government did try to get involved with the 1978 issue by certainly, you know, bringing the IRS in there. And also they had other political ramifications when it came to Brigham Young University being a part of the Western Athletic Conference at the time and the threat of being banned from the conference for their views regarding blacks. So there was a lot more complicated political issues involved. I don't see that here. I don't see that same kind of thing happening here. Because I just can't imagine the government coming in and making any type of threat just because they don't want to ordain women to their priesthood. That's not going to happen. So in that regards, I would say no. It's not something that I see happening in the near future, especially since there's not even public opinion favoring such a change among the members themselves. Again, this is a small vocal group of women and their sympathizers who want to see this kind of change. But the polls consistently show that that's not what most women want anyway in the Mormon Church. So I don't see because of that it happening.
Bill McKeever is founder of Mormonism Research Ministry based in Draper, Utah. He's co-author of the books Answering Mormons Questions, Questions to Ask Your Mormon Friend, and Mormonism 101. You can find out more about Mormonism Research Ministry at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Bill, thanks for your time.
Thank you.
When we come back, Pastor Tom Eckstein will join us. We're going to talk about Jesus on homosexuality, which some might contend is a very short subject since he didn't actually say anything about it. Is that true? We'll answer that question right after this.
South Africa.
China.
Germany.
Trinidad and Tobago.
Did you know that people listen to Issues Etc. around the world? India.
Sweden.
Egypt. France.
Turkey.
Japan.
Australia.
Canada.
United Kingdom.
Hong Kong.
Austria.
Finland.
Malaysia.
Singapore. Bulgaria.
Korea. Brazil.
You can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by making a secure online donation at issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Help us proclaim Christ to the world.
The Philippines.
Mexico.
Spain.
New Zealand. Kuwait.
Steadfast Lutherans. People who believe the law condemns everyone and should be preached to the fullest. People who believe the gospel is for everyone and should be preached to its sweetest. Traditional Lutheran doctrine and practice deliver every Sunday this law and gospel, that Christ was crucified for us sinners. To all who received him, who believed in his name, the Gospel of John says, he gave the right to become children of God. To see how Steadfast Lutherans preserves this good news for everyone, visit steadfastlutherans.org.
Right now, many churches are planning their budgets for the next fiscal year. Your church can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 on the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Download the flyer and present it to your congregation today.
Defending the faith, teaching the truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Pastor Tyler Arnold at Christ Lutheran in Platte Woods, Kansas City, Missouri. We are privileged to serve our Lord in word and sacrament through the historic liturgies of the church. Do join us for divine service at 8 and 10:45 and adult Bible study and Sunday school at 9:30. Each Wednesday evening we have Vespers at 7 p.m. Our address is 6700 Northwest 72nd Street, or call us at 816-741-0483. You can find us on the web at ChristLC.net. Come and be our guest at and with Christ.
This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. If you designate your Thrivent Choice dollars to Issues Etc. online before October 31st, Thrivent will designate an additional $25 to Issues Etc. For more information on how you can designate funds to Lutheran Public Radio and give an additional $25 to LPR, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page at issuesetc.org.